Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We are so blessed that each week you listen to these messages. It's our prayer here at the Seed that you'll come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. We invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga. I know many of you may not be able to make that drive, but you can always join us on our live stream at 9 a.m. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream. You can chat, you can pray, you can worship, you can grow in grace. It's our prayer that you grow in grace. Today, we're going to begin a series on hope. Pretty soon, we're going to be giving, looking at the season of Lent. We're going to be journeying our way to the cross. And as we journey to the cross and the empty tomb, we'll look at what hope is and why hope is so important. In the Apostle Paul's famous letter to the Corinthians, he wrote the love chapter and talked about love from many perspectives. He ended his writing on love by saying, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." There has been so much written about love. Think of all the love songs, Whitney Houston's "I Will Always Love You," "Stop in the Name of Love," and Stevie Wonder's song, "I Just Called to Say I Love You." Well, over the past 7 years, we have learned and discussed the importance of having a faith in Christ, and I have sought and prayed for on my preaching calendar for the new year, Lent, Easter, Holy Week, coming up to Pentecost, and God has put on my heart for us to look at hope, faith, hope, and love. What better topic to discuss than the hope and the power we find in the resurrection? Over the next several weeks, Sundays, when you're listening, Saturdays, whenever you're listening, over the next 7 or 8 weeks, we're going to look at the foundation of hope, a living hope, a saving hope, a glorious hope, a remembering hope, a persevering hope, and then we'll look at a resurrection hope, the door of hope. I remember when I first became a Christian, and my pastor encouraged me to start reading the Bible. He told me that I would find the hope I needed in the pages of the Bible. I was struggling with many things that stole my hope away. I don't know all the people that are listening. I don't know where you live. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know who you are, but I want to tell you today that God knows you. God knows where you're at. God knows where you've been. God knows where He wants to bring you. And He wants to bring you into His glorious hope, a power of the resurrection hope. Howard Hendricks, a great preacher, wrote these words about discouragement. "Discouragement is the anesthetic that the devil uses on a person before he reaches in and carves out the heart." That's pretty profound, especially with all that's going on in the world today. Many people are discouraged. Howard Hendricks said, "Discouragement is the anesthetic that the devil uses on a person before he reaches in and carves out the heart." I think Hendricks was right. When we lose hope, we lose the ability to dream. Despair replaces joy. Fear replaces faith. Anxiety replaces peace. Insecurity replaces security. Restlessness replaces calm. Impossibilities replace possibilities. Pessimism replaces optimism. Hopelessness replaces hopefulness. Well, before we begin and turn to the source of all hope, let us turn to the God of hope in a moment of prayer. Lord God, we come today to be filled with hope, a hope that will never disappoint us, a hope that will strengthen us to live in this world. As we begin this journey to Easter, fan the fire of hope deep within us. Amen. Begin with, let's take a quick run through some of the Psalms before we come to our New Testament reading. I love reading the Psalms. I have a reading schedule where I read 5 Psalms a day, and I can read through the book of Psalms in a month, and I read a chapter of Proverbs each day. You can go through the book of Proverbs in a month. Proverbs are for head wisdom. Psalms are for heart wisdom. If you'd like that reading schedule, just email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship, and I'll email it to you. But I want to look at a few of the Psalms today, and I pray that in these passages of Scripture that you'll find hope. Psalm 31, verse 24, be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Psalm 33, verse 22, may your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Psalm 42:11. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Psalm 119, verse 43. Do not snatch the word of truth from my mouth, for I have put my hope in your laws. Psalm 119, verse 49 and 50. Remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. My comfort in my suffering is this, your promises preserve my life. Psalm 119, verse 74, may those who fear you rejoice when they see me, for I have put my hope in your word. And then Psalm 119, verse 81, my soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I have put my hope in your word. Psalm 119, verse 114, you are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. And the last one I want to give you today is Psalm 119, 147. I will rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word. If you like those Psalms, just email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship, and I will send them to you. I can tell you that it was the fall of 1988. The fall of 1998, my wife and I had picked up all of our belongings and moved to our first church in Southwest Missouri. We moved 10 hours and hundreds of miles from everything that we knew, from our community, our church, and our family and friends. We left the church that brought us up in the faith and helped us raise our children. Our 3 children had graduated from high school and were now off to college seeking to find their own futures. They were filled with hope. We bought a brand new home in a little town 20 miles from Branson, Missouri. The church we were called to was in conflict. The previous pastor had an affair with the church secretary. Within our first year, the former pastor's wife had filed a civil lawsuit against the secretary for alienation of affection. The pastor's wife won the case, and the court case hit the national press. Needless to say, the people in the church were not happy campers, and there was a lot of discouragement and conflict. Part of the church had been cut out, and the spirit of the church became depressed, angry, restless, pessimistic, and altogether hopeless. Many of the members of the church then did what is called projection. They transferred their anger and hurt from the old pastor's wife to the new pastor's wife, aka my wife. The larger ecclesiastical church body that oversaw the church during this season met with my wife and I. This was a true church catastrophe. My wife and I had no part in it in any way, shape, or form, but we held the offices that the people in the church were mad with. Their overarching church leadership came in and assessed the situation. They met with the people in the church. They met with my wife and I. Their conclusion, because of all the unsettled former situation, I was really the interim pastor, the pastor who jumps into the middle of the mess and tries to bring the congregation back to focus on the foundation of Christ before they bring in another pastor. This church was angry and deeply troubled. The leadership board of the ecclesiastical church also felt it was unsafe for my wife to go to church with me. Now stop and ponder that for a minute. My wife could not even go to church with me. The people had transferred their anger from the old pastor's wife to the new pastor's wife. Can you imagine the scene? We had left everything in the entire world in order to follow God. We bought a new home and we had hoped to live in the Ozarks forever. Instead, we found ourselves in the midst of a church fight that we never imagined and had nothing to do with. To say the least, our hopes were shattered. For an escape from the dark clouds of hopelessness, we would drive down to Branson on a Sunday afternoon after church. It would be like going to Disneyland after church. Branson and Silver Dollar City were not the happiest places on earth, but it was much needed escape from the middle of the conflict. One Sunday night, when Silver Dollar City was closing, we were walking out with a crowd and we saw hundreds of other people entering the park and treading down through a pathway. We stopped one of them and asked where they were going. They told us that every Sunday night after the park closed, Silver Dollar City held an open-air concert in an outdoor amphitheater. My wife and I looked at each other and said, "Why not? We have nothing to lose, even if it might be country music." The open-air amphitheater was cut out from stone and had seats rising up from the stage about 10 rows high and about 30 seats wide. We sat in the top row, just in case we wanted to make a beeline for the home. We had never heard of this group. This was that was set to play. The group was called A Third Day. The lead singer was Mac Powell. Toward the end of the concert, Mac Powell asked everyone to sit down. He talked about hope. To be honest with you, I don't remember a word he said, but I do remember the song he sang. He said that they were going to play a new song and asked for us not to stand until we knew that we knew that we knew that our hope was in God. Mac said, "Don't stand up until you know that your hope is in God." They started to sing. Tears welled up in my eyes and spilled over. I had lost my hope. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and our prayer team here at The Seed would love to pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship. Click on the prayer icon, write your prayer. If you have a prayer concern or prayer question, you can always email me at PastorDave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. I had lost my hope. It was my very first call. I was discouraged. To be honest with you, I wanted to quit the ministry. I was pastoring a church that the leadership determined was not safe for my wife to attend. Over and over, Third Day and Mac Powell sang these words, "My hope is you. Show me your ways. Guide me in your truth in all my days. My hope is you." What a powerful little verse and lyric. I think they must have sung the chorus 100 times. Well, not really, but they must have sung it 10 or 15 times. It took 20 minutes for all of those maybe 300 people to stand. And as he sang, Mac would talk about human hopelessness. He talked about how he came to write this song in the middle of his own hopelessness. My wife and I were undone. There in the middle of, I call it Silver Dollar City, but it was really Steal Your Dollar City, the Holy Spirit had zeroed straight into my heart. We had lost our hope. We had taken our eyes off of God. My wife stood up before me. I was one of the last to stand, I think. I had come to the end of my hopelessness, and I sang with all my heart, "My hope is you. My hope is you. Show me your ways. Guide me in your truth. In all your days, my hope is you." I'd encourage you to go and listen to Third Day's song, "My Hope is You." Hope. What is hope? Webster defines hope this way: to cherish a desire with anticipation, a desire with expectation of attainment, to expect with confidence. Trust is a synonym. Hope and trust go together. In the Old Testament, there was no single Hebrew word that corresponds directly with the English word hope. More than a dozen Hebrew words are translated for the one word hope. Each has its own little nuance. In the New Testament, the most common word that is used for hope is elpis. It means to distinguish the basis of hope, the object of hope, the activity of hope. In both Hebrew and Greek, the noun forms tend to express the basis of hope, the foundation of hope, the reason we hope. The basic biblical definition of hope is a confident expectation, a full expectation of a favorable future under God's direction. That is what happened to us while we sat inside that stone amphitheater. My hope is God. Let us reflect for just a few moments today on Hebrews chapter 11. It's found in the New Testament, Hebrews 11. And we're going to read just a few of the verses, and we'll read it in the translation. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Wow. The foundational fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on which we can see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above the crowd. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. Hope is a foundation. Hope is our foundation to faith. Maybe you can identify with these Bible characters. Abraham and Sarah hoped that God's promises were true, even though they were past the age of having children. Joseph endured mistreatment from his own family, yet he endured in hope through slavery and imprisonment. Ruth and Naomi suffered the loss of their loved ones, but through hope they overcame. David bounced back from several devastating failures, adultery, murder, his family failures, yet he endured in hope and wrote many of the Psalms that we read today. Elijah suffered criticism so much that he wanted to die, but God resurrected his hope and he lived to shine forth God's power. Nehemiah was discouraged with harsh political and legal and social circumstances. Yet in hope, he helped to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem and restored the land. John Mark was rejected by the Apostle Paul, yet in hope, he became a teacher and pastor. He even authored one of the books of the New Testament, the book of James, and the book of John, the book of Mark. Peter was disappointed with himself for not being able to stand up under pressure, but he became one of the leaders in the early church through his hope in the unconditional love of Christ. Just pick up the Bible and you will find a person that faced discouragement, disappointment, discontent, disaster, and even death. Yet throughout the scriptures, we find where hope is revealed. You could read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, and they say, "But our God will take care of us," or Daniel in the lion's den, David when he faced a giant, or Jonah when he's in the belly of a big fish. How do you find hope? Every week I start this program and I pray for you before I even start, and I think of where you're at. I don't know where you're at, what you're struggling with. I don't know where maybe you've lost hope, but I know the one who can bring you hope. And that's what I do. That's really why I do what I do, and I love to do what I do, by telling people about God's hope. Remember, we started the passage with Corinthians 13, faith, hope, and love. And these three abide, and the greatest of these is love. God loved us so much that he sent his one and only Son so that we could have life. And we find that life in the life of Christ, and Christ brings us hope. So what? Let's bring it home. As we begin this series on hope, it's my hope that you will find hope. What's my hope? I hope and pray that you'll find hope. Maybe it's dark where you're at, and I'm going to pray that the hope of Christ will bring light. Maybe you're depressed, and hope will bring you peace in the midst of that. Find hope to set you free from your past. Find hope to bounce back from discouragement. Find hope to dream again. Find hope to liberate you from the chains that have held you down. Find hope to light the darkness of your path. Find hope to help you persevere through your trials. Find hope to give you a resurrection power. Hope is a deep and powerful force anchored in God's Word. While I would love to play the third day song and play it over and over again for 20 minutes and ask you to just listen to it and listen to it each day, I would pray that you would listen to that song and find my hope is you. The chorus is, my hope is you. Show me your way. Guide me in your truth in all my days. My hope is you. I stayed in that little church in Missouri for a couple years, and I helped straighten out some of the discouragement. But God called us to California to bring hope to you, hope to those that are in need of finding a peace that surpasses all understanding. Each week, as I prepare my messages, I pray for you. I pray that the Holy Spirit will come and shine His light into your life. In Hebrews 11, it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. I'm praying that you'll find the sureness of hope during this series, that you will be able to stand at the time and realize that your hope is in Christ. I can tell you that going through the trials, the dark times in Missouri, have strengthened my wife and I. We held on to the Psalms. Like I said, I read some of the Psalms at the beginning, be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. The Psalms helped us to stay strong during that time. And I would encourage you to read 5 Psalms a day, or read 1 Psalm a day, or read part of a Psalm a day, and let God speak to your heart. The psalmist in Psalm 42 says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, and I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. As we journey to Easter over the next 7, 8 weeks, my prayer is that you're going to find a foundational hope. Hope is, my little acronym for hope is Heaven's One Promise, Emmanuel, or Heaven's One Promise, Eternity. Maybe there's someone listening today that has never put their hope in Christ. There's never a better time than right now to put your hope in Christ and ask Christ to become your Lord and Savior. It's simple, but it's not easy to put your hope and trust in God. It's simple by saying, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I have sinned. Please forgive me of my sin and come into my heart and cleanse me and let me put my hope and trust in you today.
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we give thanks for your grace that is always sufficient. We give thanks that you have brought us hope. We give thanks for the Old Testament characters that we looked at, for the New Testament people we will look at. We give thanks that our faith is based on the foundation of the hope that we have, the hope that we do not see, but the hope that we have in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Hope is a foundation. Hope is our foundation of faith. My prayer is this journey to Easter, we will find hope. Heaven's one promise, Emmanuel. Heaven's one promise, eternity. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you this day and always. Go in peace and put your hope in God. God loves you. And so do I. See you next week. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. Or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.